pretty obvious that the church on this day, just before we have Rejoice Sunday, which is tomorrow, we light the pink candle and all the rest, in case we're getting weighed down by the penances we're doing during Advent, we have this Rejoice Day. So if you're not being weighed down, you can go right ahead and keep your penances up. You know, it's all right. I want to talk about a little bit about prophecy. Elijah is the father of all prophecy, of this particular prophetic vocation. Abraham was a prophet in his own way. He was the first to hear the word of God and base his life on it. And from that faith came the Jewish people. And from that faith came Jesus Christ, the Lord God himself. And from that came the Christian people. The church lives by prophecy. The word of God must be alive. The church lives by prophecy. So, what's prophecy? The word in Hebrew, Navi, means sort of called. It has call in it, so it means called and then calling. So what does that mean? It means that the mind of the prophet is enlightened by God, and that he is then entrusted with that enlightenment to deliver to God's people. And it has two dimensions. One, to tell people God's plan, to help them understand God's plan. And the other is to turn them from sin. Because when they're in sin, when we're in sin, we can't understand God's plan. So God, in his mercy, sends prophets. The prophet Elijah, as you remember, his name, by the way, his name is this very Eliyah, my God is Yahweh. You can do what you want. My God is Yahweh. That's the living and true God, the only God. So if you want to go worship other gods, you go right ahead, but be ready to pay the consequences. My God is God. So we look at our lives. Is that the only God I got? See, idolatry is making something to be of ultimate concern. Now, we can do it. Suppose safety in this cosmos, this dark, you see, that's my greatest need, desire. See, all the atheists have that as their greatest need. That's why they're all into devil worship, because they're looking for something to help them out. See, prophecy, idolatry is always making something an ultimate concern. Can be money, can be power, can be whatever. What is your ultimate concern? So the prophet has two roles: to tell us about God's plan and to turn us from prophecy, from idolatry. And so today we have this, the church getting us ready for this mystic presence of Christ. I say it every day, but I mean it. This is not just a catechism class, the liturgy. This is Jesus Christ working in his people to prepare them for the Father's plan. Right now, we commemorate, we remember. Remember, in Hebrew, in the Bible, means to have the act of God so present to me that I'm different and I act differently. And so that's why, do this in memory of me. Remember, Look at the cross and see what I did for you. Let that change you. And so you see, prophecy is first understanding the plan of God. And the second is turning people from sin to embrace the Word of God, the plan of God. And so we have prophets. And as I say, the church lives by prophecy. All the recent popes have had the gift of prophecy, starting with John the 23rd, who said, I'm going to call an ecumenical council and get the church up to date. Why? Because we were, except for the saints, we were sitting around in our sloth and pride, and we got St. Thomas. We got everything. Well, I love St. Thomas. Studied him for 8 years. But you got to grow up. You got to make sense to the rest of the world. You're a prophet. I can't go out there and say, do you know what St. Thomas says about me? I mean, who's going to listen? So the first thing you have to do is love. Because if you don't love, you're not listened to. Even when you are love and loving, you probably get killed. That's what he says. See, they just saw Elijah and Moses, right? But you know this text as it goes. They were coming down from the mountain. What mountain? The mountain of the Transfiguration, right? What did they see up there? Moshe and Eliyahu. You know, the law and the prophets. And they're coming down the mountain. Now they're a little bit confused because they just saw Elijah. So is we're getting ready? Is this it? You know? Why did the scribes say Elijah must come first? We just saw him. And Elijah says, he's already come. And they did what they wanted to him. Because he was telling them who God was and what God's plan was and that they had to change their lives. So they killed him. So will the Son of Man suffer at their hands. Now, there's a whole, what can I call it, like lower octane prophecy, you know? The words of the Lord who consoles us, directs us, helps us. They're beautiful. They're a gift to encourage us. But if we will ask the Lord, he will show us his plan and the need for changing our lives. It's that important. Well, to whom does he give the gift of prophecy? First, to the church. It's an abiding gift. The church is never without prophecy. And when the prophet is mature, they're a saint. Without any disrespect, can anybody here tell me who the Bishop of Calcutta was when Mother Teresa was there? You know, probably some Puerto Rican, Portuguese name, nearly all are the Christians there. But everybody knows Mother Teresa. Because she showed us God's plan for the poor. This is what I want you to be doing for the poor. This is my plan. And so, rather than amass hundreds of millions of dollars so you can have a home in every country, give it to the poor. So when they had a big board of directors down here in Washington, New York, And she sat there for a while, listened to all these plans about getting money and so forth. And finally she stood up and said, this board is dissolved. Prophet. See, the word of God is fire. And so you see, it's to understand God's plan. What does he want right now? He wants a renewed church. That is his plan right now. And what is a renewed church? It's a church who loves God. It's a church who shares God's love for the whole human race and goes to tell them about Him. That's the plan. Also, then, what's going to happen? Well, lots of things are going to happen. We get these prophecies all the time. And if you knock off 60% of just goodwill but not quite getting it straight, there's some real prophets around. You see, this is Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. And so, today is the day to sort of thank God for that and ask at least a prophecy for your own life. What is God's plan for your life? And where does it have to change? Where does it have to change? Now, they killed the prophets. We can kill the prophecy in our heart that's telling us where to change. I'm not quite ready for that. Yes, you are. What is the word of prophecy to you about changing? And why is it here on the Saturday before the third Sunday, or whatever Sunday it is, yeah, before the third Sunday of Advent? Why? Because in a way that is hard for us to grasp, the body of Christ is being vivified by the Holy Spirit to prepare for a mystical, real presence of Christ in the church and through the church to the world. Now, do you think Satan, why does he, you know, encourage Macy's and Gimbel's, if there is a Gimbel's anymore, and all the rest of them, keep us distracted? Of course we're going to go out and buy candy and coats or whatever. Celebrate. Human celebration is a good thing. Buy a turkey, enjoy it. But the plan is to make the love of the Father known in a world that is in absolute chaos and getting further and further into chaos. Why? Because we have closed the top of the world. We're back in a closed system. I'm going to stop in a minute. But you see, the pagan view of reality is that reality is a closed system. That's all there is. There are strange forces at the top. You know that Jung and all these people, they all hung around with demons because they knew they didn't have all they needed themselves. And they weren't going to turn to the Father. All these people who have now proved, you know, I don't want to go too far, but look, the physicists, there's no God, Jenna. You know, that's all that metaphysics, you know, it's physics. When you say there's no God, that's metaphysics. That's after physics. Measuring light bulbs or whatever you're going to do is never going to give you any answer to whether there's a God or not. You've got to extrapolate from your light bulbs and make a metaphysical statement. There is no God. Because there is no God, we don't need metaphysics. I mean, can you see how blind we can get? And I would say 80% of the intellectuals in the world are right there. Stupid! What's going to turn them around? Living faith that has love. Because I tell you, and I got a book upstairs which proves it, but I know it anyway, you don't turn from God and just plop down in your own little world unless you're just going to eat and drink. The minute you start to think, you get scared. So you start manipulating what you think are just the forces that you know, though, to have demons in your life to help you out. They all did and all do. So what's the answer? The coming of Jesus Christ to this world. And so we're getting ready for the birth of God among us. And if we will change, you see, then the world will believe. prophet? Right. So, what's a prophet? Somebody who loves God's people so much he will tell them the truth. Even though it's a great occupational hazard. Huh? Most of the prophets were killed. And that's why Jesus says here, you see, Elijah's already come. And they did what they wanted to him. So will the Son of Man suffer at their hands. They didn't get that. They got, he's talking about John the Baptist. They got that far. But they couldn't accept he's talking about himself. But the one thing that nothing could ever take from the depth of the heart of Jesus was his joy. Because he loved the Father, and the Father loved him. And if I'm not mistaken, this is my own little prophetic word, right now the gift to the church is learning the affection of the Father. It changes our own heart, and it gives us the right way to go preach. Amen.